Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello.
My name is
everyone.
Hi. My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched John Wick Chapter 3 Parasailer.
Parallelogram.
Parallelogram. Paramedic.
Parabola.
He would make a great paramedic.
You have no idea what's coming.
Mr. Wick broke the rules. I trust you understand the repercussions if he survives.
John Wick, excommunicado, is now in effect.
I'm amazed John Wick hasn't parasailed yet in a film.
He will.
I'm sure that's coming.
He will.
He's going to be base jumping and parasailing.
Oh, yeah.
Riding one of them airboats.
Oh God! I hope so.
Movie.
Doing a chain reaction.
Oh yeah!
For all you chain reaction fans, Keanu Reeves getting back on that airboat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit, Tom. How did you like John Wick 3?
I mean, it's John Wick 3.
Yeah.
I was pretty on board. It begins with like 20. Minutes at least of just an extended action sequence.
Yes.
That keeps escalating. It's fucking amazing.
They know what we're watching this movie for.
That's the fun of being a John Wick sequel. I think at this point, because you don't need to explain anything. You just, okay, we're gonna get right into all the crazy shit you like to see.
Right. I think I compared it to you privately earlier to a Jack Slater film from The Last Action Hero. And this movie,
very much so.
Yeah, this movie more than the others. It's just like rock music and there's John Wick. And then they just go right into it. Like it was the opening is abrupt. Like the logos were going on and then it was just like, I guess the movie's starting. Okay.
Yep. There's only like one production splash and then it's like, here we go.
Like
John Wick Chapter 2, it starts immediately where the previous film ended.
Yeah. So I guess non-spoiler is that if you've enjoyed John Wick 1 and 2, you will enjoy John Wick 3, because of course
if you enjoyed John Wick 1 and 2, you have already seen John Wick Chapter 3.
Yes. That is probably
it's
my only criticism of the John Wick films is that it's really easy to forget which film is which, because
not for me, but
I guess I guess it's more with action sequences. As I get farther away from these films, I'm going to be like, wait, which John Wick did he ride the horse in? Like, it's all fucking awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. And the plot, there's a plot throughout it. It's just action wise. It's just craziness, nonstop insanity.
Yeah. I've watched the first two films probably a dozen times. Mm-hmm. So I see how one could have that problem. I do not, because I've seen the other two so many times.
Yeah, it's not a bad problem.
No.
And this sure enough had some great fucking action.
It's fucking right off the bat, he fights a giant with a book.
Yep. Yeah, that is the first thing that happens in a fucking library. He runs to the library to get something out of a book for some reason. Doesn't matter why. His little favor trinkets.
It's another one of those. This will buy me one favor.
Yeah, he's got to go get a favor from Angelica
from
Houston.
Houston, who runs a Russian ballet theater / commando training school, which is apparently where John Wick trained.
Yep. At this point, I mean, I'm pretty sure any actor can just call up the directors. Or director. It's a director for this one. Wasn't it two for the others?
It's Chad Stahelski and I want to say, Derek Holstead's the writer. I forget the other guy's name. Like Drew Trake or something. No, they're co-directors, but it's like, it's like a Coen Brothers thing.
Right, where one of them has to be on the books.
Right. One of them has to be the producer. Right, one of them has to be the director.
Anyway, I imagine just any actor can call them up and be like, can I be in one of them John Wicks? And they're like, yeah, I'm sure we can figure that out. We'll call up the writer. Yeah.
Make and it vice
happen.
Versa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and vice versa. They can just be like, eh, let's call this person. You want to be in a John Wick? Yeah, I want to be in a John Wick.
Because John Wick is, I think, every John Wick movie, including the first one, is at its core unnecessary, but I'm so happy it exists. You know what I mean? Where it's like fractals, where like every aspect of it is unnecessary down to the, like the few little stunts where you're like, why did you have to do that? Because it's awesome. Why would you make a horse do that? Because it's awesome. Does it matter?
Because it's awesome. Yeah.
And so
lot of murder by horse in this film.
A lot of murder by horse. What I loved about it was that horses really have only one move, and John Wick loves it and keeps using it, which is just slap the horse so it kicks the guy.
He uses it more than once.
That's a lot of the animal stuff in this. The dogs were fucking awesome.
All the dog stunts were great.
But all they really were fully furry little bullets that would just launch at the people. And they didn't have many more tricks, but it didn't matter because it was just like, this is cool every time.
Well, they found neat ways to stay it. Like the dogs would come out of nowhere. They'd go high and low. The scene where it jumps off of Halle Berry's back to go up the wall and get that guy, that was pretty sweet.
I couldn't tell how CG that was because there's a few stunts in this that I'm like, okay, that has to be CG.
A lot of them are augmented with CG, for sure.
That's got to be it. Like the horse, for example, it's like, you're going to have to CG that. The motorcycle, like slamming into cars, stuff where it's like, I hope that wasn't a stunt, you know, where it's like that better be CG.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he really, the horse scene, I mean, obviously they added CGI augments, but that was like the first still release. Like it's one of the first things they filmed was him riding a horse around.
Oh,
town.
I mean specifically the horse kicking the guys in the face. It's just do that.
And there's a few shots in it where like, there's one where there's a horse in the foreground, and it's like if you watch, the horse is clearly fake.
Right.
Because you can't be fighting right next to a horse because it'll freak out and kick people.
Yeah, exactly. It's also for the horse's sake. It's just like, hope they're not trying to shit with the horses.
We don't need to do this to the horse.
Yeah. Don't need to confuse these horses. And that was on the subject of like things that don't matter, that are unnecessary. As I loved it. It's not a criticism. But nothing about Halle Berry's role in this is necessary.
No.
It really feels like it's Halle Berry like getting contacted by calling Keanu Reeves and being like, I want to learn how to fight. Can I do some of that? And they're like, yeah, sure. Let's bring her on. That's great. Let's give her some dogs. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. You ultimately don't need her. He could have gone but it adds to it adds a whole cool sequence and like it does a little bit more world building.
You don't need any of it. It's great though.
None of it's necessary.
It's necessary in the sense that it's unnecessary action that we are paying to watch happen. Like that's the point. That's why we're all there. It's like watching a musical and being like, the songs aren't necessary for the narrative to continue. And it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, we're here to listen to some songs. Like, we're here to see a horse kick a guy to death.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was on the table.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of... Man, I can't stress how... Just this movie just starts like, and it's I'm not exaggerating. It is probably 20 minutes of just an escalating series of action sequences before he finally. Because if you remember from the end of part two, he's been excommunicated. The entire city is going to turn against him in an hour, and this film picks up right at the end of that, where he's like scrambling to get stuff in before the hour ends, and then as soon as the hour ends. Everybody fucking attacks.
Not even as soon as before the hour ends. That giant is like, hey, no one's going to notice if I kill you 10 minutes early. Let's fight in this library.
Yeah.
And
he kills him with a book.
Yes. All right. That's one thing I noticed about.
And then he puts the book back.
Of course he does. He's not a monster.
Oh my gosh.
Something that I noticed about this film that I think it's not that noticeable, but I mean, I guess this is not an observation, more like a question. Are these movies getting slightly more brutal, every single one? Because they feel slightly more brutal. Like, the axe in the face stuff was like horror movie shit. It was great. Again, he's plenty brutal in the first movie, but these movies seem to be getting increasingly more brutal in the kills. And that's just because, maybe, I guess, they're sequels, you know?
I think it's also a budget question.
Right. It's also by fractions. Like, the brutality.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that much more brutal than the first one.
Yeah, but no, I think... I do see what you're saying. I think it might be more of a symptom if they just have more money to do more things.
Right. Yeah, at this point,
so, like, why... Let's have them just fucking throw an axe into a guy's head.
Yeah. Like, what do you want? You want some horses? You want to go to the desert? What do you want?
Yeah. What do you want? We don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck here for you, man. Yeah, holy shit.
Do we want to even go through the plot?
I mean...
he's got that $14 million bounty on his head. He has to go to Casablanca. So he goes to Angelica Houston.
Yeah, we get a little bit of backstory. He came up through Angelica Houston's, like, secret... She has her own society that's, like, adjacent to this assassin society, and that's where he came from.
She's just churning out assassins.
Yeah, and ballerinas. Maybe they're ballerina/assassins. Who knows? He cashes in a favor. She sends him to Casablanca. He meets up with Halle Berry and cashes in his blood marker, which was used on him in the previous film by Santino, so that Halle Berry will take him to the person who can get him in touch with the big dude that's in charge
the
of
the main guy.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions for that guy. mainly, like, how did you get into this racket? How did you get this going? This is great for you.
How did you get this gig?
You're not that old. Yeah.
Like,
we also learn in this that characters like Ian McShane can be, like, fired.
Yes.
Like, they're not crime bosses. They're just, like, guys... They're just management, and, like, they can just be fired. And it's, like, not a... They're pretty polite about it. They're just like, look, you have 7 days to leave, or we're going to kill you. But you can leave. You could bounce if you want. Get your shit and go. They're very polite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bad guy is basically bureaucracy. Like,
yeah, and it's not even, like... They send this lady called the Adjudicator to, like, basically... adjudicate to judge every person who helped John Wick kill a member of the High Table in the
previous film. After he was excommunicado, like, the people who helped him and the people who they do a good job establishing that, where the doctor sewing him up, and then exactly when it's time for everybody to kill him, the doctor has to stop, and then the doctor asks John Wick to shoot him twice.
Yeah, because he's like, they won't believe that I stopped helping you before time ran out. He's like, but you did. And he's like, but they won't believe that. So you got to shoot me. And he just shoots him.
It was a great bit, because every time he goes, make sure you don't nick the... And then John Wick just shoots him.
Yeah. All right, shoot me a second time here. Make sure you don't hit the collar button. And he shoots him again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, man.
A lot of great bits in this. A lot of... At least the audience I was in was just a lot of flinching and laughter.
Yeah,
people just having a great time.
I definitely said "oh" out loud a few times.
Yes, because in this first part we're describing, he has, and again, this is, it's like a parody. It's so good, as he gets chased by guys into what appears to be a weapons museum.
A knife museum. Yeah. He gets chased into a knife museum.
Can you imagine chasing John Wick into a knife museum, being like, oh, great, that's just great.
Well, and then continuing with the chase. Like, you run inside the knife museum, you're like, you know what, I'm not tonight.
That's one of the... Some of the bravest characters in cinema history are these henchmen.
Yeah.
Because you think the ones at the end would just be like, okay, never mind. I'm going to go...
The ones at the end kind of do. Like, the last...
Yeah.
The two guys from The Raid...
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad they showed up.
That are Mark Dacascos' stickmen. He fights them to, like, a... Like, they quit.
Well, they're mirroring the Ruby Rose. Is that her name? From...
Yeah, he kills her.
The second
though.
One. He doesn't kill her. He stabs her and says, I'll be seeing you. And she says it to him.
Right. They say... Yeah.
And that's what he does to this. It's just like... It's like a respect of, like... oh, you should, I'm not going to put you down. You're awesome. Like, I'm gonna leave you alive so you can come for me someday. I guess
maybe. I'm pretty sure she's dead, but because he pulls the knife out.
Yeah, well, we don't see her die. It's assumed. I thought it was assumed that it's ambiguous because
that's fair. I mean, because he says be seeing you to Vigo in the first movie. Like, I think it's like a thing that they say. I think it's just a thing that they say.
Yeah, I guess so. I always thought it was like a weird assassin code, like in Kill Bill, when that she kills the mother in front of the little girl, and she's like, well, I'll probably be seeing you in like 18 years. Like, where assassins, they're just so addicted to just fighting and the drama that they'll leave people alive. Like, you're going to get revenge on me someday.
Yeah, it leaves a child alive. Oh, boy, you're going to come after me in 10 years.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You'll have your own fun little story to tell, and I'll be old and bitter. It would be great,
but with the raid guys, it's not ambiguous. Like they're clearly not dead. They're just like done.
Yeah, I love the main guy there, who's like a geeking out at John Wick while trying to kill him.
It's Mark Dos Cascos.
Okay, he was fucking fantastic.
He was in a lot of action movies in the 90s and stuff. I think he's the host for one of the Iron Chefs.
Really, he looked very familiar.
You have seen him in something, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But he was great.
He is. Yeah, he's in a lot of things.
He was great.
He was fucking
such
fantastic.
A John Wick super fan.
That's the thing about these movies that make them, that like elevate them, is that like they're obviously art. The way the fighting is, and the way it's shot, and the way and
they're
and all of that.
Yeah, they're very pretty films. Yeah,
yeah. The scripts are probably 20 pages long.
Yeah,
but. But what
it's
I think
just
what makes
so many instances of just they fight,
yeah. But what makes makes I think the writing good, or at least like not the worst, and is the fact that the actors like get to kind of have these great character moments.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of really good character moments, like the guy geeking out, where they try to find these, you know, like the Continental, like that story device where it's like these are places where they can't fight. Mm-hmm. Make for some great non-fight scene moments where like these people trying to murder each other just have to sit.
Yeah, have to sit quietly.
With Halle Berry and her dogs, where he shoots the dog and like John Wick can't really be that angry with her for taking immediate revenge.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was real good. That was Bronn, by the way, from Game of Thrones.
Oh my God! It was, wasn't it?
The guy that goes.
I knew
see in
I
Casablanca.
Knew that guy. Yeah. So he. Yeah. Just to continue that the story, he has to go to the desert. The guy tells him like this cryptic message about going in the desert, and if someone told me that, I wouldn't do it. I'd be like, that guy's fucking with me.
Yeah, that sounds like bullshit.
Yeah. We also see where they're making the coins, which one of my bigger disappointments is that did John Wick never threw anybody in one of them coin bags.
I so thought somebody was going to get tossed into a vat of molten assassin bucks.
How did they miss that one?
I don't know.
It would be great if they were just like then turned into coins, and like for later in the movie you just see these bloody coins hanging around with like finger bones in them. I like that the dog jumped across them like a real badass.
Yeah, that was everything they did with those fucking dogs.
Those dogs were badass.
Yeah.
They gave them personality where they're like, you could tell they're like really enjoying what they do.
Yeah. They're getting lots of biscuits.
Yeah, they are.
After each cut, they're getting treats.
They're getting little chunks of treats too here and there. They go mostly for the junk, which was
both logical
and excruciating to watch.
These are dick-biting dogs.
Yeah. Because of course they are.
They bite them some dicks.
Yeah, that was a fucking... This is why Halle Berry is kind of... doesn't matter, is because I wish she showed up later... But the movie knew that she had no reason to show up later, and it would have been a dumb moment for her to be like, need a little help, and the dogs to show up. That said, I wouldn't care if she showed up.
Yeah, she makes it very clear that, like, I don't want to see you again.
Yeah, none of these assassins like each other.
Leaves them in the fucking desert.
Yeah.
And, like, spits back a tiny amount of water for him to carry into the desert.
so he can go cut off a finger for some guy for reasons I am not entirely sure. But I loved it.
Oh, man. And we,
what a movie.
The big boss is one of the guys on Wonder Woman's team and Wonder Woman.
Which big boss? Oh, the big boss guy?
Yeah, the big boss.
What's his name? I recognized him as well.
I can't remember his name. He's the guy in Wonder Woman who wants to be an actor. He's like Middle Eastern, I think. I don't remember the actor's name.
Know. I've seen him in things.
But yeah, he's like the guy in charge of all of it.
Yeah.
And he makes John Wick cut off his finger and give him his wedding ring.
Yeah.
In order to not kill him.
Yeah, so he can go to bars later and be like, check this out, John Wick's ring. Got him to cut off his finger for it.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, that then he's sent back to kill
Ian McShane
to prove his worth. Winston, Ian McShane, he has to go kill him. And instead, and then what's his name? Lance Reddick.
Yeah, Lieutenant Lance Daniels Reddick from The Wire.
has to just murder all sorts of people. I was so glad they gave Lance Reddick something to do, because for the first two films, he's just been like hanging out of that hotel looking after dogs.
Yeah.
This is actually where I think the movie kind of slowed down for me. What did you think about the end?
The ending? I enjoyed it. It starts out with, and this is kind of a personal nitpick, but it starts out with slight strobing. Which I wish they'd stop putting strobe lights in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marina has epilepsy, so I've become super sensitive to it. And it's a bummer whenever we go to a movie and she can't watch, like she has to close her eyes and not watch the movie because it's strobing out. It's like, there's no reason to do that in a film. Like, we don't need to see that.
I would argue that most films, when they do it, I don't have any epilepsy, but I hate it too. It's kind of hard to watch.
It doesn't happen that often. Spider-Verse gets a little intense, but like The Incredibles 2 was out of control with the strobe lights.
I remember that. Like, calm the fuck down, Incredibles.
It was
2.
So much so that like I remember the weekend after it opened, they had signs up in the theater warning people about the strobe effects in The Incredibles 2.
Right.
It's like, calm the shit down, movie.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I liked the game of it. I liked that he and Lance start out with one type of ammo, and it's not enough because like these uber bad guys are like elites. They have this armor that they just can't get through. So they come back to the safe and they're kind of pissed.
Yes, they're really frustrated.
Yeah,
and the whole time Ian McShane is just chilling out with the dog, which was fantastic. I think what it was about, I'm trying to figure out what about that scene bothered me, because the armored guys are fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't mind it. It was, I liked the escalation of it and the game where they kept having to come back to Winston and he's just sitting there drinking sherry or something.
I love how they had to kill them by lifting up the masks and shooting through the neck and stuff. I think what it is that it just, they
when he keeps shooting that guy when they fall into the pool.
Oh, that was so good.
Like, it was like the guy is trying to shoot him and the bullets just kind of don't go far enough and they kind of sink because they're underwater. And then John gets right up on him and shoots him in the head like five times.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps shooting him in the head. It's like, dude, he's dead.
I think what it is that the movie opened with its most insane set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like the horses, the knife at museum, the dogs. And so once it got to that point and it was just sort of them shooting a bunch of guys in a room, it was fun. But I was like, I lost the high that the movie was giving me at that point.
I can see that.
And then once it got into like the story, the ending where he gets betrayed by Ian McShane and they're like talking it out, and it doesn't end badly. It just, I guess it's the same with John Wick 2 and any of them, where it's like they give you some time to breathe after the movie, after the last action scene.
Yeah. Right after that, though, that he gets to fight Mad Dog from the Raid and the Nameless Assassin from the Raid 2 in like a hall of mirrors.
Yes.
And it's pretty great.
Which is a theme with these movies.
Yeah. He keeps, like Marina pointed out, John Wick keeps finding himself in like modern art installations in all of these movies. At least in the last two.
Yeah. I think the directors like hate their cinematographer. So they're like, okay, we're gonna do a bunch of stuff in mirrors.
Yeah, fuck you, pal. You figure it out. That fight's pretty funny. There's a game to it where they're also huge John Wick marks, and they're like, man, we're fighting John Wick, it's great. And they kind of beat the shit out of him for a second, and then they help him back up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're talking to themselves like, hey, he seems to be a little bit slower. And the other guy's like, well, yeah, but it's still John Wick. So they help him up. And then they knock it. When they knock him down again, they go over to like help him back up. And he's like, all right. Like he holds up his hands and stands back up on his own. It's pretty funny. Come on, guys.
Yeah. It's pretty insulting. Pretty insulting. I love that they keep kicking him into those glass skull cases.
Yeah, with the crystal skulls.
Which sounds insane until you actually watch the movie. The order and placement of which ones he smashes into was very, like, really well planned.
Mm-hmm.
God, all the fights look great.
Yeah, it's all amazing.
Yeah.
His fight with Mark Dacascos is fun. When he gets into that fight.
I like how they're all ninjas too. They like disappear and shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty funny.
They like drop down from ceilings. Like he's fighting ninjas in this one. Just straight up ninjas.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the guys. It's two of the guys from the Raid.
Like, yeah.
They're fucking coming at people.
Yeah. They do a very good job with escalating the bad guys. Like it's hilarious to think of what's his name, fucking Theon, being like the bad guy in any of these.
He wasn't even really. Yeah. He was always just the guy he wanted to kill. Like Theon was never like a physical threat.
Right. That movie, the first movie, is a slasher movie from the perspective of the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just let's watch Keanu Reeves murder, go into a room and murder everybody easily, which was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. This was a criticism I already shared with you. Not enough Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah, he's not in it that much.
No. Needs more Jason Mantzoukas. I wanted them to give him a fight scene. I wanted him to struggle through a fight scene. Fuck it. He's basically
he's one of Lawrence Fishburne's guys.
Lawrence Fishburne's like second in command.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. I don't know why Lawrence Fishburne is a character in this. I don't know why he keeps, like, they did a dying fake out and it's like, nah, he's back. I don't know why. I love it, though.
Yeah, I mean, they did just say, that was one of the things about the Adjudicator that I thought was interesting. It's like, I was full on expecting all those people to get killed. And it's not even, it's not even clear that she was saying Ian McShane was going to be killed. She was saying you're not going to be in charge of Continental anymore.
Just fired him. Like the only reason she kills him is because he refuses to leave. And then she's like, okay, well now you die.
She has Mark Dacascos and his ninjas storm Angelica Houston's place. I'm like, oh well, she's going to get killed because she says you're going to pay for your.
Yeah,
for your betrayal with blood, and they just kind of stab her through the hands.
Yeah, they're not being unreasonable. They're just—it's like they're just like you're fired. And if you were working at a Radio Shack and you're like, hey, you're fired, and they wouldn't leave, you'd like call the cops at least.
Yeah,
you wouldn't slash at them, but like you know that's what's happening. It's just like Ian McShane is like, I won't leave, and it's like, well, fuck, man, we fired you. Go do something else. But no, they have to try to murder him. That's what you got to do. Shit. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, it felt like because I assumed everybody was gonna get murdered too. Because I just assumed these actors were like, you know what, I got other things to do. But they don't. They will happily be in another John Wick. Which it. Really seems like we're going to get.
Yeah, even though Keanu said like he probably thought 3 would be enough. Like he's like, I think once you start doing more than that, it starts to get kind of, you know.
Right. But it ends with a sequel tease.
Yeah, it ends where there could be another one. I mean, or it could just not. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope there's more. I don't know. It doesn't end in a place. It doesn't end in a conclusive place. John Wick hasn't found peace. And he's just been betrayed by Ian McShane, who shoves him off the side of a fucking building.
He shoots him off the side of a
building.
And John Wick goes pinwheeling down an alley, bounces off a fire escape. Like, he falls hard.
He's going to need a minute. Like, when they were like, he's gone from the alley, I was like, oh, come on. And then Mandzukic is fucking wheelbarrowing
pushing him in a shopping cart.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, I see. Yeah, Mandzukic saved his life. It's an important role.
It's a critical role.
Yeah, it is.
Man.
Yeah, John Wick. John Wick, man.
It's fucking John Wick.
This
I don't
movie,
know.
Like, I didn't know. When I sat down to watch this movie, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say about this movie when it's done, because it's just going to be fucking John Wick. Like, there's not much to it. The plot is paper thin.
Yeah, but it's there. But yeah, it's.
Oh yeah, it's there for as much as it needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of great fighting, a lot of great fucking stunts.
Yeah, it's what you're looking for from a John Wick 3. It's just crazy stunts that just escalate.
Yeah. Who do you want to show up in John Wick 4?
Oh man.
Robert Duvall.
That could be.
You want
that
Robert
could,
Duvall in there?
Yeah, kind of.
Have him fight Ian McShane.
Yeah.
Give them a fight scene.
Yeah. I said this the other day, but fucking McNulty, he should show up.
Oh, you're right. McNulty should just be in every shot.
He seems like pretty well suited for the John Wick universe.
Yeah.
Throw McNulty in there.
Get as many actors from The Wire as you can.
Honestly, really? Yeah, because what's his name?
I'm sure Idris Elba is in the first one. Right. Idris Elba will definitely join
in. Yeah, you get Idris Elba to do a John Wick movie. That'd be crazy.
He could be one of the assassins. He could do like a Halle Berry, like a friend. Let's bring back John Leguizamo.
Yeah,
give him some fight scenes or a car chase.
Something. Kind of. I missed him in this one.
Yeah.
He didn't have any reason to be in it. But
just merge it with Fast and Furious. John Wick versus John Wick and Furious. I don't got it.
You didn't get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wick and the Dead. Nope, that's not right.
Oh.
Put Gene Hackman in this.
Yeah.
The fuck is Gene Hackman doing? Not a goddamn thing. That's what.
Yeah. Yeah. Get all the old guys.
All the old guys.
Ian McKellen.
Load this full of old dudes.
Do a whole scene where it's just all old assassins fighting. Set it in Antarctica. Just cold, old assassins. Kurt Russell would do one for sure.
Hell yeah.
Why aren't they calling these guys?
I don't know.
Get like 50 dogs in the next one.
just an ocean of dogs.
Yeah.
I
joked on Twitter that
he's doing like the Iditarod or whatever, just with a dog sled team.
Yeah. I joked on Twitter that the villain would be revealed as his puppy who faked his death.
Yeah.
To orchestrate all this. Have a subplot with that. Have him like be chased by dogs. And oh, that would be great. Oh my god. A scene where John Wick is being attacked by dogs but refuses to kill them.
Yes.
And won't kill them, so he has to just keep running from them and like dodging them.
He won't even hurt them. He has to dispatch them in non-lethal ways.
Yeah, or just get away from him. Like, it could be basically that he's like gets captured because he's not going to hurt the dogs in any way. I want that. I want John Wick versus dogs. That's a moral. That's like a moral and psychological battle. It's beautiful. There's so many things. Yeah.
Real conundrum for this character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's so many directions to take this series, but there really isn't. It's just in one steady direction. And it's an awesome direction.
Right.
It's and that direction is just John Wick plus other actors plus location.
Yeah.
What can we stick him on?
They dropped him in the middle of the goddamn desert. And this, he went to Casablanca.
Yep.
It's like, fuck it. Like, he was in the Colosseum in Chapter 2. It's like, man, yep. Just...
Wherever. Have him ride like a polar bear in the next one.
Yeah, who cares? Who gives a shit? Like I said, parasailing, hang gliding.
I don't know. I mean, they'd have to have like a parasailing fight, which would be hard.
Yes, he would absolutely have to be in a hang glider fight. That's the reason you do that.
Yeah. Has he done a plane fight in any of these? He hasn't, has he?
No, John Wick has not been in a plane. Well, he theoretically was in a plane to get to Rome.
Well, they boated him for this one.
That's true.
Makes me wonder how many boats he takes. It's a weird.
Is John Wick afraid
way to travel.
Of flying?
Oh, let's explore
that. Maybe he's afraid
that.
Of flying. Yeah, he could be.
Yeah, that could be his snakes. He doesn't have like a weakness. Does
Why
he?
Did it have I to guess be it's, planes?
I guess his weakness is dead dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's everybody's weakness, kind of. No one wants a dead dog.
Nobody wants to just like wake up in the morning and just find a dead dog.
No.
Especially if you don't even own a dog. That's very alarming.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say about this film.
I don't know.
It's amazing. I want a
scene where he legally, like technically dies and he goes into the afterlife and it's just his wife looking real fucking shocked at him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then he gets revived. I want to hear what his wife has to say.
I want to see. Yeah, I want to see John Wick murder his way through the spirit world.
Yeah,
just killing historical figures.
Well, okay, yeah, that's the thing is if these are slasher movies from the point of view of the slasher, well, he should go to hell, like in Jason Goes to Hell, like he should have those like crossover things. He should fight Jason. That's what he should do.
He should. He should fight
John
all
Wick
of the horror
versus
movies.
Jason Voorhees. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Freddy versus Jason versus John Wick.
Oh, my God.
It's right there.
It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they doing this? Like, there's no reason not to do this. Yeah, like, what integrity are they protecting?
What are we waiting for here?
Yeah. Let's get to it. That should have been this movie.
Pull the trigger on this shit.
Yeah. Come on, Hollywood.
Yeah, you cowards.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking cowards.
I'm trying to have any other thoughts about this.
We don't have to have any other thoughts about it. I've just been bullshitting. But that's because it's just such a fun movie.
Right, there's not much to say about it. Just go watch it.
No, it can just go anywhere. It's just it's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
If you like the other movies, then you'll like this one. If you didn't like the other movies, then you probably won't like this one.
That's it.
it's
that is it.
Yeah, it's a grilled cheese. It's like do you like grilled cheeses? Well, here's a grilled cheese. It tastes like a grilled cheese, and that's wonderful. Like I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, there's just new cool things. They got more animals involved.
Yep.
If you like, all right. If you watch the first couple John Wicks and you're like, it's okay, but not enough horse murder, then you're gonna love this movie.
You are in for such a treat.
Yeah.
This will be. If your specific complaint about the previous two John Wick movies is that there weren't any sequences wherein dogs bite people's dicks off.
Well, you got it.
I hope you're sitting down because we have a real treat for you.
We do. We have great news.
This film has that in spades.
Yes.
Like, multiple times.
It has too much of it, one could argue. it's a lot. There's a lot.
It's a lot. It's more than one.
Yeah.
It's more than three.
Yeah. More than three for sure.
Yeah. For sure.
You think the dogs were, because every time the dogs maul someone, one of them, Holly Berry or John Wick, would come in and blow the guy away. And you think the dogs are disappointed because they're just like, come on, let us do it.
Yeah. What do you keep? We're still eating this guy.
Yeah. That was fucking gruesome. Like that shit, when they both jump into the car and they kind of, they don't even like show us what's happening in there. And it's just like, that is terrifying.
Yes. It is just dogs mauling people to death.
Like, that is not a fun way to die.
No.
A lot of these people, I feel like, didn't... Like, the part where they go up to the cars and the dogs jump in, like, they don't even ask those guys if they're bad guys.
Right, we have no idea who those guys
are. Yeah, they could just be like, oh, it's John Hick. Let's go help him. And it's like, nope.
Nope. Mauled, dog murder.
Dog murder.
Oh. Mauled by a dog. Yep.
With their little fancy vests. They got little
dog vests. Their
vests were
very fancy.
Yeah, they're like little cops.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's adorable. I
got nothing.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's all I have to say about it.
That might be it. I mean, this is on the shorter side.
It's a 40-minute. We're 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
There's nothing to debate here. Like, my criticisms of this movie aren't really criticisms. They're all like, oh, I wish it had more of that. Or like...
Yes.
Yeah, it's there's nothing really like bad to say about it, because it's like one of the Fast and the Furiouses. Although I would argue the Fast and the Furious movies are worse movies, because
it's all CGI. They're like superhero movies.
Yeah, and they try to have more plot than they need. John Wick knows exactly how much plot you need for a John Wick movie. Like, not none, but just not too much.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much. It doesn't need to be that much.
Yeah,
you give us cool characters that have that's one of the great things they do is that like with the new villains we get in this movie, like Mark Dacascos and the Adjudicator, they're very two-dimensional or one-dimensional, but it's like they're fun. Like they know how to make like a villain that has a cool thing about it, like in the second movie you had Ruby Rose as the deaf assassin and Common as the guy who was like, you weren't like, he was like avenging his person he was supposed to be protecting,
right.
So it was like, oh, I get why he's pissed.
Well, that's like, that's what makes it, I think that's the dynamic that they know the rule to put on everything is that, well, everybody has their own personal rules and guidelines and they stick to them. Like, nothing is emotional. Like, they're all just on the job.
Pretty much.
For the most
Except
part.
For Common. Common is totally emotional.
I thought he... But I thought he was like, well, you killed the woman I was protecting, and by the rules of my job, I now have to kill you. Like, I thought...
He took that shit personally.
Yeah, he was definitely angry about it, but I thought there was still, like... And there's still the stuff where they go into the hotel, and they're like, you can't fight here anymore. I love that it's like... It's just these like old guys that they could easily just like kill anytime they want, just ordering them around all the time. Because they're very rule oriented.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a repeated motif.
Yeah. There's enough rules within the universe and enough world building that it's like, we don't have to understand exactly how anything works. We just have to know, we don't have to be confused. It's consistent. It's always consistent.
Right. They're like, this is how this works. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
don't need to know entirely why.
No, yeah. It's all vague, but it doesn't matter. We don't get, like, the more, I've said this about other movies, is the more they get wrapped up in their mythology and forget the point of the movie, like the Terminators, for example, or the aliens.
Or the predators. Like, it's like, we don't need the rich mythology of these things.
Yeah.
Like, just do the thing that we like.
Yeah, exactly. Do it as many times as we'll let you, over and over again.
Yeah.
And we'll probably let you do it for a lot.
We'll let you get away with it if it's the thing that we like.
Yeah, exactly. I will watch a Terminator fucking chase John Connor, or any kind of Connor. Can be like Bill Connor. It could be like a Connor cousin. I don't care. As long as that's
it's even like somebody who's like Richard Donner.
Yeah,
like just somebody who's kind of sounds like a Connor.
Right. Yeah. It could be
like
director Richard Donner
from TV's Roseanne.
Yeah.
And the Connors.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Just chasing John Goodman.
That would be a great. Oh, that would be a great Terminator. I know we're veering off the rails here, but like he goes back in time, and then like immediately a truck hits him in the head. And then he goes for, like, a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes for, like, the Donners. Mm-hmm. Like, like Bond Donner. That's a name. And then,
that's a name. Yeah. You'll find it in a phone book.
Yeah, yeah. Don't look it up, but just trust me.
Bond Donner.
Bond Donner. And he's just like brain damaged Terminator doesn't quite understand what's going on. That'd be great. They should make that. They should make that Terminator movie. And then really John should. Wick can fight him.
Yeah, the John Wick versus Terminator. Fuck
that's
that.
It. He hits his head and John Connor becomes John Wick. And then he's like, Oh shit, I gotta fight.
And then John Wick has to kill a Terminator.
That would be great. God, yeah.
Oh man.
Why aren't we making these movies? Why?
I don't know. Come we on. Have like 18 different screenplays we need to write
yeah,
right
now.
Yeah,
we really do. And they're all brilliant. They're all brilliant, Tom.
Yeah. They're all fucking genius. Yeah. I think we can we can wrap this up.
I think so too. I think we're good.
Oh man. What do we got going on?
Well, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You can check out some of our podcasts that are exclusive, such as Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We also have movie nights every Friday with our Patreons, where we watch movies like John Wick 2, which was one of the last things we watched. And and
we had a whole Keanu fest.
Yeah, we watched Speed, we watched John Wick 2, and we watched Chain Reaction.
Pretty exciting.
All the classics.
Yeah, all the classics. Bram Stoker's Dracula was in consideration.
Mm-hmm. And Hardball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, Hardball.
Gotta watch Hardball.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get all sorts of stuff, including a brand new Fox Mulder's a Maniac design that is pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So do all that. Check all that out.
Yeah. Do all of those things right now. If you're driving, pull over. Mm-hmm.
Get all your assassin coins gathered and throw them at us.
We do it. Patreon does accept assassin coins.
Of course.
So just use those wisely.